My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Holy smokes, we got a lot today. There's so much to get to. That's James, I'm Kyle. We're hanging out with you until noon right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Welcome in, everybody. A very happy Thursday. Happy best day of the week to everybody out there. James, you got the puffy vest on today.
I've got your full
Monty McNair cosplay.
Full Monty McNair.
Yeah, no, I love that. I wish I had known. I would have dressed up as somebody. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
And worn a suit.
Maybe I'm more like Wes Wilcox just because of the hair.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I could have been Monty because I don't have any.
Oh, there it is.
I don't have any hair.
Oh, we could have gone. Oh.
We could have done a whole thing. I need to buy a puffy vest. I need to up my puffy vest game for sure.
Yeah. This was from the Alaska trip. I got a puffy vest for the Alaska trip, and yeah, here I am. I hadn't worn it since. I'm not a puffy vest guy, but
well, no, it looks like it suits you, so I dig it. The Sacramento Kings beat the Charlotte Hornets 123-98 last night. We'll talk plenty about that. And there's a couple things that happened in last night's game that I think bode well for the Kings long term, and I think might have changed my not changed my mind all the way, because two games does not a contender make, but there's been some trends that I think are very positive for the Kings. But before we get into that, dude, I know we try and keep it local on this radio station for the most part. We try and keep it to Kings, 49ers. I know the Raiders are in Vegas now, but Raider fans, I know you're out there in Northern California still. So we'll hit the Raiders for sure. Giants, A's, especially with the A's and their whole moving saga. Bill Belichick being out as the Patriots head coach after 24 seasons.
Amazing.
Is one of those stories that has to be brought from the national kind of pool of stories that we have to choose from every day. Because I genuinely, this, I keep in mind, I'm 30, how old am I? 33 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know an NFL that doesn't have Bill Belichick as the head coach of the Patriots.
Oh, that's wild.
Because he started in 2000.
Yeah.
I was 10. I followed the NFL, but my very first football memory is Steve Young to Terrell Owens in the wild card game against Green Bay. That's my first like vivid football memory of where I was watching and who I was watching with.
Mine is the catch, which was yesterday was the anniversary,
yeah.
I believe.
Oh, so the catch, and then the catch two is some called the TO1.
Yeah.
So that was like my very, and that was 2 years before Bill Belichick got hired. So this is such a monumental shift for me. And if you're 24 years old, you're well into your adult life.
Yeah.
And Bill Belichick has been the head coach of the Patriots for all of it. And the most successful NFL coach of all time. You talk GOAT, he's it.
Yeah, he's
it. He is the standard for NFL coaches. He can hit me with Bill Walsh, and he can hit me with I don't know, Don Coryell or John Madden, or I don't care.
Bill Parcells.
Bill Parcells, Don Shula. Hit me with whatever name. Bill Belichick is at the top of that list.
No, I totally agree. I mean, what he was able to accomplish in this era where, you know, there's so many moving pieces, and for him to be able to take this team and just win so many championships, but also to, you know, he's player personnel. He's doing all of the jobs. You know, he has help, but he's been doing all of these jobs for so many years, and he's been doing it, I hate to say this, his way.
Yes. The Patriot way, some say.
The hoodie way, you know, like the guy who doesn't care, the guy who is gruff and doesn't buy into any media or anything else. And I think really, you know, sort of the conversation of, you know, who made the Tom Brady thing or Bill Belichick. Like, come on, man. This is the greatest coach. They stand alone. But like straight up, they stand alone. This is the greatest coach in NFL history.
Yeah, and it's not close. Like even the last couple years aside, where things have kind of gone sideways for them, he was the coach for 24 years, and they finally had a couple of bad years.
Yeah, that's wild.
I mean, it's not like it undoes something or proves something it went wrong for Bill Belichick or that he's some kind of fraud. And the Patriots, honestly, were probably more competitive sometimes this year than they had any right to be.
Yeah, I'd even say, like, how does that conversation go? Like, hey, do you want to mutually part ways? Yeah.
Yeah, I would like.
Okay, do you want to mutually part ways? Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing.
It's over.
I don't obviously know, and we may never find out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing they had Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft had their end of year meeting or some just a meeting at the end of the season where both of them, like maybe Belichick wanted to go. And Kraft wanted to kind of move on, but neither really wanted to say it because that's been a relationship for the better part of, well, more than the last two decades, last 2.5 decades.
Yep.
And I just, when you look at where Bill Belichick is, it's 72 years old. The Patriots need a full tear it down, rebuild it.
Yes.
And is that what he wants to do? Probably not.
They don't have a quarterback to build around. They don't have anything to build around.
Yeah.
It's time.
And that's partly, and this is where the Robert Kraft side of this comes in. The reason they don't have anything to build around is because Bill Belichick has been their personnel guy.
Yeah.
And he has not done a good job of restocking that cupboard. So he did, what he did personnel-wise to have a competitive team for 2 decades, 20 straight years of going to, for 24 years he was the coach, and they won 17 AFC East titles.
That's wild.
They won 9 AFC championships. Almost half of the years he was a head coach, they went to the Super Bowl.
That's wild.
I guess closer to a third of the years. Still crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He won 6!
And, you know,
he by himself has more Super Bowls than the 49ers.
Yes. It's wild, too, to see him and Nick Saban step away on the same day.
Yeah.
I mean, because realistically, one of the great college coaches of all time.
Yeah.
Like both of them just deciding to at the same time, like, hey, let's call it. And I guess they were on the staff at the Browns years ago together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sure were. Yeah. So, I mean, it is a monumental day. Whether you hate the Patriots and you hate Bill Belichick and you think he's a cheater and you think Tom Brady made him or whatever, fact of the matter is he's going to go to Canton without a question. And he is going to go down as, on the Mount Rushmore of head coaches, he is the Washington spot. And I would be willing to bet a large sum of money that in my lifetime, surely, we don't see anyone come close.
No, I would agree. Well, I don't think that there's anyone. I mean, look at what Kyle Shanahan hasn't been able to get his first one. And I think a lot of people consider him a really, really good coach.
He's a good coach and he's had a really good roster.
Yeah.
Look at Patrick Mahomes. Look how dominant Patrick Mahomes is. And he has 2. Mm. And that's incredible. Like winning a second Super Bowl is like, man, what a run.
He's got another decade, another 12 years or so. So
totally, totally. Yeah. But the point is, like, even having Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, there's no guaranteed Super Bowls. You don't.
Oh, no.
Peyton Manning was as great as he was and won 2, one of which he had a noodle arm in his defense, one of them.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Marino, who realistically is like the father of the modern NFL quarterback,
yep.
Zero.
Yep.
zero Super Bowls.
Crazy.
Wins. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's you know, you got to pay respect for a guy who again, did it his own way, but better than anyone else. And, yeah. I hope that he doesn't, hang on here. Like, he doesn't need to go take on another job. There are a ton
of
jobs
open. You don't want to see him take another job?
Not really. I don't know.
Huh.
I mean, it's 72. Like, enjoy the fact that you're great.
Right,
like,
that you did it.
Yeah.
That's kind of what... Maybe he's going to take some time and evaluate opportunities, because maybe if you're an NFL team,
mm-hmm.
and you need a head coach, are you calling Bill Belichick?
I mean, you got to be the right team. Like, if I'm Bill Belichick, there's so few teams that I would even consider. Like, maybe I would take the Charger job. Maybe. I mean,
that's the one, because that's at least you have a quarterback that
yes.
you know can play in the NFL.
You can build around.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So outside of that, though, I don't know. I don't know that there's another, you know, you don't want to go take the Jets job. You don't want to take the Giants job.
And I think the other aspect of this is he going to want personnel control? And that would be the question for me if I was an NFL team.
Oh, yeah.
Because I just don't, at this point, I just don't trust Bill Belichick, the personnel guy. So if I call him and I say, hey, will you be the head coach? We've got this guy, Washington. I'm just going to pick Washington because we're going to talk about them a little bit later on, with 49ers assistant GM Adam Peters being one of the finalists
mm-hmm.
for their president of football operations job, the new lead of the Washington front office. If Washington calls and says, yeah, hey, we've got this guy, Adam Peters. We've added him to lead our front office. Will you just be our head coach? I don't know if that's something that interests Bill Belichick.
Yeah, because it's got to be the perfect situation, and his response would probably be, look, I'm the one who helped build these teams. This was me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, have I made some mistakes over the last couple of years? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Like, at the end of the day, everyone does, right?
Sure.
For as good as Jeff Petrie was with the Sacramento Kings, you know, he took over the team in, what, 1993, 94, built the first playoff run, the first playoff team in the 95-96 season, I believe, and then comes back and builds, you know, their quote-unquote dynasty for 8 years. But that ended in 2006, and, people forget, like, he's the guy who drafted Jimmy Fredette. He's the guy who drafted Thomas Robinson.
Yeah.
He's the guy who drafted Quincy Doobie. Like, there are plenty of moves that he made late in his run that were just not good.
Yeah.
And, you know, were there better players around him? Yeah, I mean, some of the time, sure. But, like, there were some big-time whiffs. I mean, you drafted Thomas Robinson. Next pick was Damian Lillard.
The thing is, the only thing is Bill Belichick has a lot of whiffs in there.
Yeah.
But
you're also dealing with seven rounds. You're dealing with seven rounds. I mean, there's more.
Yeah.
You know, it's not two-round draft where, you know, you make a mistake and it stands out.
I still think he is a quality head coach.
Yeah.
And he will obviously have the respect of every room he steps into. I think defensively, he is still on the cutting edge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Super Bowl where, remember, the Sean McVay Rams, I know it's been a little bit different in the last couple of years, but remember when the Sean McVay Rams took over the NFL, it was like, oh my God. They might score 50 a game.
Yeah.
And then they go into a Super Bowl. Well, now they played Vic Fangio and the Bears, and Vic Fangio kind of exposed them a little bit. But it looked like they were starting to figure things out. They make it to the Super Bowl. They score 3 points on Bill Belichick. That was 6 years ago.
Hmm.
Which, in the scope of the evolution of football, is not that far. Like,
yeah.
He just did that. So I think I would still hire him as a head coach, but I don't think that I would want him to lead my front office.
Okay. I mean, he almost has to step in. Like, I mean, if the Philadelphia job comes open, that would be the other one where you're okay, will he step in?
This comes back to, what does he want? Because if he wants that personnel control, he's not getting it from Howie Roseman in Philly. He's not getting it from Jerry Jones in Dallas.
No.
And,
oh, see, that's another interesting one.
Yeah. If Dallas loses in the first round and Mike McCarthy gets fired, that's what I'm putting my money on. All right. Bill Belichick talk, am I right? If you have any thoughts on Bill Belichick, 916-909-1320. But let's shift gears and let's talk about the Kings' blowout win over the Hornets last night, 123-98. We'll do that with James's six quick thoughts on the other side. It's ESPN 1320. We're the Insiders.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
This is completely BS.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
You're dang right it is. Hey, you know Bill Belichick's the GOAT because we spent the entire first segment talking about the fact that he is leaving the Patriots.
Isn't it wild?
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn about the Patriots.
I care less than zero about the Patriots.
Couldn't tell you where they're drafting, couldn't tell you their team needs, couldn't tell you how... I think it was three or four games they won this year.
They need everything.
I might be able to name 10 Patriots. Maybe.
Okay.
George Washington.
I don't know that I can.
Paul Revere.
Don't think I can.
Yeah. Neil Armstrong. All right. Let's talk Kings. They beat the heck out of the Hornets last night. The seven Kings wins you made in heaven. That was a sledgehammer win last night. 123-98. Let's get James' thoughts.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go? Kings insider James Hamm has six notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
Hey, it helps that the pots are turned up, James.
There it is. Number one, let him cook. You're dropping 32 points against the Pistons. Keegan Murray was really good again. 25 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Kyle, I've got to the point where I need to see it against Philly, and I need to see it against the Bucks, and I need to see it against Phoenix. You can suck it. Yeah. That's what Kyle.
No, I want to dig deep into this because this was a massive, massive takeaway from the game for me last night and, frankly, the last two games. And the same thing with what Domantas Sabonis has been doing. It is shifting my idea of what the Kings need to look like post trade deadline.
Yep.
But man, there were a couple possessions last night when the Hornets were trying to keep it close.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they got it to 13, and then the Kings get it to 16, and then the Hornets got it. They got it to 15 after it was 19-0, and back to 20, and it was Keegan Murray putting his shoulder into Brandon Miller's chest, taking him to the rack, and scoring. And that is
super impressive.
That is what you like to see from Keegan Murray.
I'm a dog.
All right, number two.
The machine. Domantas Sabonis playing the best basketball of his career.
Yep.
24 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. It was his 20th straight double-double. He would have had a triple-double if he would have got any minutes, but he didn't need any minutes late in the game because they absolutely steamrolled somebody. This dude is putting on a flat-out clinic. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, 20 straight double-doubles sounds like me at In-N-Out. Am I right? Number three.
Back where it all started. Last time Malik Monk played against the Hornets, he flamed out in 5 minutes. Oh. And that is not who showed up in this game. He was electric. 20 points, 4 assists. Man, was he good, and good for him. And then he had some funny comments after the game about, bleep. Like, I'm glad I was able to show up.
Yep. This is completely BS.
Is that what he said?
No, it was the other one.
It's a complete crap.
That? Oh, okay. All right, good. Now, here's what I think. If you put together a supercut of Malik Monk's game,
mm-hmm.
like just what Malik Monk did, in K-pop concerts, they have what's called a fan cam.
Okay.
So Stray Kids, the group I really like, has 8 members, right? So the fan cam is that just follows one member the entire show.
Oh.
And then that gets posted on YouTube, and so you can watch a performance, but it's just that member of what they're doing.
Just that dude. Are there 8 of fan cams?
Yes.
Okay.
One for each. So if you did just a Malik Monk fan cam,
mm-hmm.
I could tell you whether the Kings won or lost.
Oh. Yeah.
Based on just what Malik Monk does.
No, I totally agree.
And last night he was really, really good. And every time it was like, hey, they need a bucket. It's not close, but they need a bucket here. He'd go get one.
Yeah, and that's his second game in a row, 20-plus. Yeah. He's done that a couple of times, but not a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the next evolution of him. He needs to show that that's who he is every night.
And I think the thing for me is it was a quiet 20.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, man, he hit four consecutive threes in the second quarter and then it ate the rest of the game. Like, nah, he just went about his business, end of the game. Oh, man, Malik had 20.
Yeah, there he is.
All right, number four.
Number four, fought through. De'Aaron Fox, like, you can see that he hasn't been right physically, and I would even say, like, mentally, he was struggling a little bit. You know, it was in his head that he wasn't the same player for a couple of days. He looks like he's fought through, and mm-hmm. he didn't have the big 30-point night, but he did finish with 19 points on 8 of 14 from the field, not from 3. He also added 3 assists. He's got his legs back, and again, I think this is really good for the Kings going into a game against Philly and Milwaukee. Good stuff.
Domas was a -4 last night?
Oh, for the game?
That's weird. Anyways, that's super odd. De'Aaron Fox, a +25.
Yeah.
It was, like you said, clearly not peak MVP caliber De'Aaron Fox we were seeing early in the year.
Mm-hmm.
Or for most of the first part of the season. I shouldn't say early in the year. For most of the first part of the season. But more impactful than he had been the last couple of nights, and picking up off of his fourth quarter in Detroit, that was a good sign for sure. I think getting today off, where they don't play,
yeah,
and I doubt they'll practice.
No, they don't practice after back to back.
Yeah, okay,
after back to back.
Pretty sure. So I think that'll be very, very good for him, and I think we see a much better version of De'Aaron in Philly.
Yep.
All right, number five.
Be big. Alex Lynn doesn't need to do too much other than set screens, rebound, and protect the rim. Man, since he's made the switch, Alex Lynn has been phenomenal. And at this point, we don't need to like keep going back to the well here. Alex Lynn, 8 points, 10 rebounds, a block, +28 in 16 minutes, Kyle. Just let him do the job. That's it. Like, we don't need to tinker.
There was a really subtle thing, and I thought that Katie Christensen on the TV broadcast did a really good job of breaking this down at halftime, of Alex Len coming out almost at half court to double, I think it was Terry Rozier with mm-hmm. De'Aaron Fox, so to double him, and as soon as he got rid of the ball, Alex Len just turns tail, puts his head down, and gets back to the rim, and helped cut off a drive that forced a kick to the corner, forced the Hornets into a bad shot. It was all because of Alex Len's hustle up near midcourt and then all the way down at the rim within a few seconds. And those are just kind of the little defensive things that Alex Len does really, really well. And I would be shocked if he is not in the rotation permanently moving forward.
I hope that that's the case, because Alex Len was so good in the playoffs last year. Alex Len right now is just crushing it. Mm-hmm. His plus minus is off the charts.
Yeah, that's not saying play him 25 minutes a night. But what did you get, 16 last night? Love that. Give me 15 to 18 minutes of Alex Len a game.
Yeah.
Number six.
Number six, another change. Mike Brown continues to tinker. He lost Kevin Huerter. That was weird. The Kevin Huerter injury in the first, like 3 seconds of the game is just totally bizarre. But Colby Jones saw minutes. He was active. Didn't put up any stats. But I think that the way he's played at the G League level gives you some hope that he can translate those skills, and the way he gets through a screen, how active he is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I like to go back to Monty McNair with the Houston Rockets. They used to mine for guys like this. They used to find them all over the place and develop them with the Vipers, and I think that that's what the Kings, it's a sneaky thing where you're going to have all these big salary guys. If you're going to have mm-hmm. big salary guys, you need the Colby Joneses of the world that you get in the second rounds, lock them up to 4-year deals that are dirt cheap, and you know you're going to have a ball player.
My guy, let's go! Come on!
Colby Jones fan club is here.
We are in the building, baby. My guy CJ20 getting out there, getting active. You love to see it. Very clearly still a rookie, But I love that Mike Brown said, hey, CJ 20, it's your turn. And I would love to see him continue to get minutes and opportunities.
I love it.
That's it.
That's it.
That's our six quick thoughts.
All right.
That's all I got.
That's all you got. Do we have a Jiffy Lube player of the game?
Hey, you're damn right we do.
Yeah. All right. So if you're hanging out, go to ESPN1320.com. Look right there on the front page is a gigantic Jiffy Lube logo. Click on that and enter to win a $100 gift certificate from Jiffy Lube. Kyle, what is the password is?
Keegs.
Keegs.
K-E-E-G-S. I wanted to mix it up because it's always been Keegan when we do that.
Yeah.
So Keegs. K-E-E-G-S.
Keegs is the password. Enter to win a $100 gift certificate from our friends at Jiffy Lube.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
If you needed any more evidence that the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors are moving the wrong, or not moving the wrong direction, moving very opposite directions, let me point to last night and let's talk trades that might be able to go down for the Kings with Golden State, because I think they got a couple of players that the Kings might be able to use. We'll talk about it next.
Why I wore my poofy vest.
Oh, GM Ham in the building. We're talking about it next on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, there's two Kings-related things I want to talk about.
Okay.
The second of the two things we'll talk about a little bit later, because I... You know what? No, let's do this first. We'll get to the Warriors and the trade talk thing in a second.
Mm-hmm.
What Keegan Murray and Domantas Sabonis have done, Domantas Sabonis for the last 2+ weeks, but Keegan Murray specifically the last couple games, the way they've played offensively, the aggressiveness from both of them in taking advantage of smaller defenders, in taking advantage of guys who just flat out can't guard them, and in being aggressive and putting the ball in the basket, particularly in a moment where De'Aaron Fox is figuring out whatever he's figuring out on the offensive end.
Mm-hmm.
If those are the players they're going to be, if Domantas Sabonis is going to be a, what's he at, 24 a night?
over the last couple weeks. It's something like that. Yeah, his stats over. I'll pull it up while you go.
Please.
You go ahead and keep talking.
If he's going to continue doing that, whatever number it is over the last couple weeks, and not just scoring points, but it's the aggressiveness that he's doing it with. It's not a tip in. It's not a, I got left alone under the basket and I'm done. It is catching at the elbow and realizing that, what's his name, Nick Richards.
Yep.
Can't guard him.
No.
And it's putting the ball on the deck, getting the shoulder into his chest, mm-hmm. going around him and scoring, or dunking on him, or hitting a three, and just being aggressive, being a primary scorer in a time where their number one guy is struggling. Mm-hmm. And then you have Keegan Murray doing the same thing and being ultra efficient while he's doing it. I don't think Keegan's going to continue to be as efficient as he's been because his shooting numbers are just off the charts. From the field the last couple games, but it's the aggressiveness that I'm talking about. It's the aggressiveness that matters. And if they're going to get that from those two players, on top of what we know they'll get from De'Aaron Fox once he clears whatever little hurdle he's got to clear here, that dramatically changes the type of player I think the Kings need. Because I've been operating, when we've been talking trades, I've been operating under the assumption or under the idea that the Kings need another creator. I didn't think Keegan Murray was there yet, and maybe he's not. This is everything with the Kings is about continuity, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's about, hey, what does this look like against, you said it earlier, you've got the Sixers, the Bucks, and the Suns coming up.
Yep.
Can they continue doing that effectively against those three teams? TBD. But if they do, now I am much less concerned about that second creator. That second player who can either create off the dribble or create as a playmaker and just put the ball in the bucket. That's just that now matters less to me than finding somebody who is that like defensive stopper. That primary defensive option that you're going, yeah, he is going on the other team's best perimeter player and we're not worrying about it.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle, that's why I was so high on OG Anunoby forever.
Right, right.
Because, I mean, he just fits.
Did
he fits
a little both.
He's trying to, like, mm-hmm. he's basically Harrison Barnes on the offensive end. On the defensive end, though, he's just incredible.
Elite. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, you got to try to find that guy. And I don't know that you can. I don't think the Kings at this point need just, like, I don't think they can get away with, like 3 years ago, Robert Covington or PJ Tucker. I don't think they're there yet.
Mm-hmm.
They still need somebody who's a threat. So again, I bring up Danny Green, that type of player that can still get you on any given night. Danny Green can hit five threes.
Makes the other team guard him.
Yes. They can't go just 100% defender. Even like we can talk about Matisse Thybulle. Like I still think Matisse Thybulle would work on the Sacramento Kings, but you can see that Matisse Thybulle that we saw early in the season where he's hitting all these threes against the Kings, like that's really, I mean, the dude's averaging like 6.8 points a game. Like he is a non-factor on the offensive end, but they might be to the point where they can have a non-factor. They just can't have a guy who doesn't show up half the time. And that's what they've been having problems with right now. It's what they're having problems at small forwards, what they're having problems at the shooting guard spot. So yeah, I think Keegan Murray's like ability to take this next step.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that over his last 9 games, Domantas Sabonis is averaging 24.3 points, 14.4 rebounds, 8.6 assists. Kyle, he's shooting 65.3% from the field and 57% from three. Like
on how many attempts?
He's 0.8 attempts per game on three.
No.
16 attempts per game. Like he
16.
Has
16.
Dude, he has clearly sensed De'Aaron Fox needs a break and he needs to take on more scoring. But he's done this throughout his time, even in Sacramento, where he'll go through this run where he's really good offensively, but then he takes a little bit of a step back once Fox is ready to roll again. It's because he's an unselfish player. The Kings need this player right here.
I agree. Even if Fox is scoring.
Yeah.
They need this version of Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah, and I mean, it's always going to come back to, are the Kings better if De'Aaron Fox is taking 20 shots per game versus 22? And the answer is probably, yeah. Are they better if he's at 28 points a game versus 30? I mean, yeah, maybe. But these other guys have to be in position to take on more if that's the case, because you are getting absolutely nothing from Harrison Barnes, absolutely nothing from your shooting guard position.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kevin Huerter going out and like after 12 seconds or whatever it was last night,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like Chris Duarte played 20 something minutes and didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you still have a problem there.
What's not funny, like, haha, but what's interesting is if Chris Duarte wasn't on the Kings, let's say he was still on the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kings had kind of the same issue they have now where it's like, man, they need a guy who can sit in the corner and hit threes and then play good defense. I'd be sitting here going, call the Pacers and see what they want for Chris Duarte.
Yeah.
Turns out.
No, I mean, at this point, like, look, I'm okay with Keon Ellis or Colby Jones playing those minutes because sure. you gave Chris Duarte 14 minutes last night. He was 0 of 2 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, but no points. You know, 2 personal fouls, like that's nothing. And you need more. You need more. Again, Harrison Barnes plays 22 minutes, 2 of 4 from the field. He hits 2 threes, but he had 1 assist and 2 rebounds.
Mm-hmm. Is there, speaking of the shooting guard position, just real quick, is there any update on Kevin Huerter?
No, I haven't heard anything yet. That was weird. I'm not sure what happened there, but it happened like it happened off camera and like super quick. I think it looked to me like he stepped on Keegan Murray's foot as they were backing away from the tip off of the game. He's walking back. Keegan Murray's walking back. He steps almost like when an offensive lineman steps on a quarterback's foot and you have a fumble. That's what it kind of like. He just took a step backwards and then, rolled it. I was very surprised that he was ruled out so quickly because it didn't even look that dramatic on the replay.
So I got into the game a little bit late. I got the game on the TV a little bit late.
Mm-hmm.
Like 5 minutes late. I see Herter's not on the floor. And it's like, okay, I guess he just didn't start tonight. That's weird. Like, fine. Well, I checked the box score just to kind of see what's going on. And I see he started and played 1 minute. I was like, damn, Mike had a quick hook tonight. Jeez.
41 seconds. And it basically, he rolls his ankle. He's part of the play. He's hopping on one foot. Like, oh no, he's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then they miss a shot. It's going to the other end. And Huerter just reached out and fouled a guy to stop play. And then he was done. I mean, and we got it quick. Like, oh, he's done for the game. So... yeah, very, very strange set of circumstances, especially if you're Kevin Huerter. You just got back in the starting lineup last game. Like, you have an opportunity here, but last game, you just got back in the starting lineup.
I kind of wonder if injuries are bad all the time.
Yep.
100% of the time, injuries are bad. Ideally, this isn't a big deal, and he's back next game, but if he does wind up missing time, ideally, it's, you know, not a lot.
Yeah.
But for Kevin Huerter specifically, maybe a couple days off would wind up ultimately being a good thing.
Maybe.
Where he's focusing on rehab. He's not focusing on the fact that he can't hit a shot to save his life. Maybe there could be a silver lining in hopefully what's just a rolled ankle that, you know, maybe misses a game or two and he's back. But
I also, you know, he's going to be on the East Coast for a couple of days here. It's good. I would assume it's
New
possible, like his family's going to come visit. Mm-hmm. You know, he might need some TLC.
Yeah,
like just some love from the family and like to recenter.
And hopefully, somebody from his family is like lose the damn headband.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, when we come back from the break, when you come back from this, you're not wearing a headband.
You're taking the headband off, Kevin.
I mean, he literally could play he could play next game. We have no idea yet.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah,
I mean, it did not look like a grade 3 sprain that's going to take him out, you know, 10 to 12 weeks.
Conversely, on the other hand, Tyrese Halliburton's injury looked like one that might end his season, and it looks like he might only miss a week or two.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, that was like a bring out your dead moment. Like, I'm not quite dead yet. I mean, like, they had him in the wheelbarrow trying to wheel him out, you know, Buddy Hield carrying him. Carrying him like a little, you know, like little Tyrese Halliburton.
I have
baby.
Seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail, though.
Okay.
Many, many times.
Okay.
So I get your reference.
Finally got it.
Hey, real quick, I watched The Godfather last night.
Amazing.
So we got, for my friend, my buddy Frank, he's a big movie guy. And mm-hmm. so we got him this book. It's a 52-week movie challenge.
Okay.
And so each week there's like a different category of movie, and you like take notes on the movie. It has little prompts and questions and stuff. Cool thing.
Well, I like this.
So we as our group of friends is like, hey, we're just all going to participate in Frank's book.
Okay.
So the first one is Best Picture winner.
Yeah.
And so...
probably the greatest film of all time.
So Frank chose The Godfather. And we were all going to pick a different movie. We all landed on The Godfather. And so I went, hey, I need to carve out... I literally planned my day yesterday around watching it. Because it's 3 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And with the Kings on the East Coast, their game's wrapped up by 6:30 at 6.
Yeah, it was early.
It was very early. Game's wrapped up by 6. We're on the couch. We got the movie on. We're out of there by 9:30. It was great. Really good movie. Incredible. Incredible film.
Incredible film.
I'm very, very glad that I've watched it.
Yeah, the evolution of Al Pacino in that is spectacular.
Really good. There's been, if you're unfamiliar, I'm not a movie guy. I've not seen a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm.
And like, pick a classic movie, I've probably not seen it. Although I'm getting better. I'm getting a lot better. But if you pick a classic movie, I probably haven't seen it. And so I have this like list of films that I need to watch. And there's been just a lot of movies that people have been like, you have to watch it. Oh, it's the best. And then I watch it and it's like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Didn't age great. The Matrix is one. The Matrix did not age well.
Okay.
It looks corny now. But I assume in 98 or whenever that, 99, whenever that came out, it was like, man, holy smokes, The Matrix. It was good. It was fine.
Yeah.
But not like, I don't feel like I would have lived a worse life if I hadn't seen it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm with you.
But I'm glad I watched The Godfather.
Okay.
It was excellent.
Yeah.
Very engaging 3 hours.
The next thing, you have to watch The Offer. Kyle and I talked about this. I think it's on Paramount. It's The Offer. It sort of goes through the making of... It's a series, and the making of The Godfather, it's absolutely incredible. Even like the battle to get Al Pacino the job, because they did not want to give Al Pacino the job because he was too small.
Huh.
And they're like, no. And not only that, but he's a theater guy. And they're like, yeah, we don't want him to be the lead.
Mm.
And
he was like, the Johnny Fontaine.
Even, yes. Where they go to... there's a whole entire backstory on that. That's incredible. Oh. But also, like, they're like, well, what if we were able to get Marlon Brando? And they're like, you can't get Brando. And like, just the path to get Brando to do the show. Really, really incredible.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
I can't wait to watch it. I'm totally invested in the Godfather cinematic universe now.
Yeah, we clearly have just... bamboozled sports talk in lieu of
no, there's a, no, we have plenty of King stuff coming up.
Yeah, we
and
do.
I
wore my vest and everything, Kyle.
No, you did.
I'm ready.
No, you did. But real quick, see, this is what I'm talking about. In the chatty house, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Charles, shout out. Thank you for watching and listening. Said, bro, The Matrix is one of the greatest movies ever. Objectively, no, it's not. It's fine. It's a fine movie. Calling it the greatest movie ever makes me want to hate it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Like, it's fine. It's a good film. If somebody was like, hey, we're hanging out tonight, we're drinking beers, eating pizza, I'm gonna put The Matrix on, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna go ever revisit The Matrix.
Yeah, and you're not gonna take notes on The Matrix.
John Wick, better Keanu Reeves movie.
Bill and Ted's. Better Keanu Reeves movie. Parenthood.
The Replacements.
Parenthood with Steve Martin. That is one of the great roles for Keanu Reeves.
Great.
Yeah.
The movie Keanu with Key and Peele about the cat.
Amazing.
I have an idea for the Kings.
Okay.
As we talk about them needing defenders. And frankly, athleticism. Mm-hmm. They need to get more athletic on the wings. If you're Monty McNair, which in your vest you are today, are you calling the Warriors and asking what they want for Jonathan Kuminga?
No.
No? You're just out entirely?
I'm out because...
Why?
Very, very... Like, I firmly believe that, again, I'm a person who looks at the way a team plays and whether a player would work in that system. And... I don't think Kuminga is a system player. in the same way that I don't think Davion Mitchell is a system player.
Hmm.
I think they are square pegs, round holes. And I think that's exactly what you're seeing with the Golden State Warriors. I don't think Kuminga's a bad player, but he doesn't fit how they play. And so, no. Like, the Kings don't need a guy who's dribbling the ball 12 times every time he touches the ball. They don't need somebody who tries to slow it down and take everybody off the dribble. That's not who they are as a team. Now, you can have a couple of those guys on your team, but the Kings already have those. They already have De'Aaron Fox. They already have Malik Monk. Hey, if Keegan Murray develops a little bit of that game, okay. But what you don't want, if you're the Kings, the way your system is built, is three-point shooters. It's a, you know, transition buckets. It's back cuts and stuff like that.
So those are the things. That's the thing is, that's where the Kuminga thing would make sense to me. You got an athlete who can defend multiple positions. You can play him. You can mess around with him at the five, depending on the matchup. He's going to cut and be athletic and catch lobs and do all that. Get out in transition.
Yep.
But then you look and you see that he's shooting 27% from three. And all of a sudden, that whole part about, we talked earlier, you need length and athleticism and defense, but also a player that teams are going to respect when they're alone in the corner.
Yeah, Kyle, that's why, like, if I were looking at the Warriors, I would take Moody over Kuminga. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, Kuminga is a much better player. Okay.
I don't see...
It doesn't matter. It's about a system.
I'm not convinced that's true, but...
Okay.
But I would...
But I think some Warriors fans believe that Kuminga is like a much better player.
I certainly believe he has a higher ceiling, but I don't think he's a better player than Moses Moody right now.
Well, that, and I think Moses Moody fits a system better
than, which
I don't understand why the Warriors can't fit him into their system. It's their loyalty to aging veterans, but... That's where I'm at. I'm like, hey, look, if you're going to call the Warriors, it's not Kuminga. Clearly it's Moody, who, you know, can't get on the court half the time.
So Drew Down in the chatty house, who's in the Bay Area, Warriors fan, said there's no way, like, who are the Warriors giving up? They're not going to trade with the Kings. And that's where, so I want you to run through some of the financial aspects of this, because you presented a trade last night that I thought was kind of interesting. But The thing is, and somebody asked me this on Twitter at 21 Shades of KG on Twitter, said they want me to talk about how I'd go about solving the Warriors conundrum.
Yep.
And the Warriors conundrum is they picked a rock and a hard place and then hopped in the middle of it.
Yeah.
They want to service their aging veterans, and I think in particular Steph Curry, and do everything they can to try and maximize whatever window of high-level play Steph Curry has left, while at the same time trying to ready themselves for the post-Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green era. But they've hosed that second part of this by not playing and developing those players who need to play and develop in the name of playing veterans to try and win a championship. And neither one is working right now. So they're not winning with the veterans, but Steve Kerr doesn't want to play the young players because he wants to play the veterans because they're trying to win, but then they're not winning. So when he randomly throws Jonathan Kuminga or Moses Moody into a game and it doesn't work out, it's like, well, pull the plug on that. There's just no, they haven't committed to one way or the other. They either need to rebuild and be like, hey, Brandon Pajemski and Trace Jackson Davis and Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody, you're all playing. You're all playing all the time. You're just in. You're in the rotation. And that's what it's going to be. Klay, you're playing 18 minutes a night. Draymond, you're playing 15 to 18 minutes a night. That's just how it's going to be now. Chris Paul, we're sending your salary elsewhere. Like, that's how they need to approach this.
Yeah,
and they haven't and they won't. So that said, A, I don't think there's any solving it because I don't think they even know what they want to do. Maybe they do. But B, that's where this comes in with the Kings. Like, maybe... There were people in the chat saying there's no way the Warriors would trade with the Kings. Maybe not. Maybe the Warriors are like, no, we're going to figure this out. We won a title with these guys 2 years ago, and we're going to... I don't think so. So would they be willing to do a trade, or are they looking... Are they looking to do what you're about to present and look ahead and dump some salary and save some money, conceding that this is a lost year? Or are they going to go, no, we are holding on to our veterans and we're holding on to the young rotation players that we do have, and we're going to try and move some pieces, Jonathan Kuminga, we're going to try and move some pieces that maybe don't fit for a veteran that we think do fits that can help us get over the hump that we can't get over this year. I don't know. It's a bad spot to be in, though.
Kyle, they went from a two-timeline team to a zero-timeline team. They they don't have a timeline.
They landed in the middle of their timeline.
Yeah, it's over. It's over. Like, they're driving off a cliff here, and you're talking about building around Punjemski and Trace Jackson Davis. Those aren't lottery picks. Those aren't future all-stars. They're solid rotational pieces.
Sure.
But they're solid rotational pieces on a bad team right now. Maybe they develop and they become something more, but they're in a bad spot. This is when you can't acknowledge. The smartest guy in the room is Bob Meyer. First of all, he didn't build that team. You know, that was built before he got there. Was it Larry?
Ellison.
Yeah. So he built the team. And then we get to, he's leaving. He left before the whole thing folded. Like, brilliant move. Smart guy. Mm-hmm. He comes out looking like the genius in this whole thing. But for me, like, look, this team is in a bad spot. And Mike Dunleavy doesn't have ties to these players like Bob Meyer did. And that might be the one good thing that helps this group, is that Dunleavy might be able to move forward without some of these pieces, because he's not the one who put them together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, if I were I'll just do like a would you do it, you know, like, who says no? And at first I'm like, no way. I don't think I would do this if I were the Sacramento Kings, but I might consider it. And that would be a trade of Harrison Barnes and Davion Mitchell for Andrew Wiggins and Moses Moody.
I'm sorry, Larry Riley was
Larry
the
Riley.
Larry Not Ellison was the is the guy Oracle
that,
guy.
That no one wants to sell their team
yes,
to.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Larry Riley. Jeez.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, Wiggins.
He almost bought the Warriors from Chris Cohen before Lacob and Goober came.
But sorry, they did not going. Want to sell
Correct.
To him. Yes. Yeah,
Anyways,
yeah.
Sorry. Keep going.
Anyway, yeah, the trade that I would at least think of if I were the Kings is Wiggins and Moody coming to Sacramento for Barnes and Davion. And Warriors fans are instantly going to say, that's a lopsided trade. There's no way the Warriors are going to do that. And I'm going to say, you're wrong. And there's one reason why you're wrong. This deal, it sounds totally crazy here, but because you're swapping these players and their salaries, mm-hmm. and it still fits under the confines of the salary cap, the Warriors would save $6 million this year in salary. And you think, oh, well, that's not enough. Do you know how much that saves them in luxury tax, Kyle?
More than $6
million. $38 million.
Oh, my God.
Kyle, $38 million, and then add the $6 million that you saved in salary. That deal saves them this season alone. Not talking about next season, because next season is the same thing. Harrison Barnes' salary goes up to $18 million next season, while Wiggins' salary goes up to $26 million.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to save the same exact thing next year, because that team is in cap hell.
Yep.
Absolute cap hell.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm the Kings, I don't really love Andrew Wiggins at 24, 26, 28, and then 30. I don't.
Right.
But
especially given that he's been bad this year, but not like normal Andrew Wiggins in Minnesota bad. He has been new level of bad this year.
Yeah, but if there's a way to fix him and get him with Mike Brown and fix him as a player, mm-hmm. and get him back to the defensive stopper he was a couple of years ago, he does give you a little bit more offense. He's a horrible rebounder, like, but that's a coin flip on who's the worst rebounder. But more length, more athleticism. And so when you're going up against a Miles Bridges and he starts going crazy, you don't have a player that can stop him. Sometimes you do. Sometimes that's Keegan Murray, but sometimes you don't. I think that he's a better defender and would fit in the situation better. The key to that deal for me is that I would start Moses Moody at starting shooting guard spot with Malik Monk coming off the bench. And I think he's a great shooter. I think he's a good defender. He's long. He's athletic. I think you shore up two spots. And people will say, there's no way the Warriors would do that. I'm not sure that they wouldn't consider it. $44 million this year, probably going to be, that would probably save them $90 million over 2 years.
It's a lot.
That's a lot of cash.
That's the easy Warriors motivation there. Let's talk more about that fit with the Kings and what exactly it would look like. We'll do that next on ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.